This is Living Real Radio, real issues in real time with your host, John Ngadi, Greg Walton, Robert Fiducia, and Julianne Staley. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.
Good morning. Welcome to Living Real Radio. I'm your host, John Ngadi, with Greg Walton today. And we are Zoomed because Greg and I are snowed in. As I'm looking out the window, Greg, it's continuing to snow here this afternoon. And but our guest today, all the way from Sacramento, California, Mr. Aaron Thompson.
So hey.
Welcome, Aaron Thompson, who is musician, writer, athlete, father of many. And you got five kids, is that right?
I have four.
You have four. Greg has five. Okay, yeah. And so he's also a friend of Greg's as well. So welcome, Aaron Thompson, to Living Real Radio.
It's an honor to be here.
I'm behind the times. I guess, you know, the hip thing for Catholic musicians is just to lose the hair. You know, I feel the odd man out between you two. One of these three is not like the other.
It's just a matter of time, Greg.
That's right. Oh no! It's time is happening. You know, John teases me. He's like, dude, the top of your head is parting like the Red Sea. It's, you know, yeah. You know, I try to cover it up a little bit with a faux hat thing up in front. You know, and
yeah, and the truth
it's fine
is,
because
John and I would pay a lot of money to have what you have right now. That's the honest truth.
Yeah, until you get old. I think I'm a little bit older than you, Aaron, and. Then you just don't care. We're on our 50s.
50.
Yeah. But you're 50. You're 50. You're 50 till you're 55, and you're 55 till you're 60. So there's no in between numbers. You never say I'm 50. Say I'm around 55.
That's true.
Anyway, Aaron, it's great. It's you. How do you and Greg know each other?
Oh man, ooh. Greg and I think, now correct me if I'm wrong, Greg. I think we met on a retreat at John Michael Talbot's Hermitage back in, isn't that where we met?
Yeah, it would have been 2000, you know, 2000, well, I think it was 2001, possibly. Yeah. And we were both part of his Troubadour Communications Group thing, you know, that... you know, but that's okay. We got community out of it. It was good. So.
Yeah, but that's where I met Greg when we were both young and full of fire and fury.
And hair. Yes.
And hair.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, Aaron, when I was in Wheeling, West Virginia, I was there was a bookstore there called Precious Moments or something like that. Anyway, the lady that owned it went to the parish. I was at the cathedral in downtown there, and she said, "You got to hear this guy." And so I knew you, Aaron, before you knew me way back. Wow. That would have been 1996, 97, something like that.
Was so, I out there or was I just in the bookstore?
You were in the bookstore. She had got your CDs, you know, when, what was that organization that was big for, that worked for a while? The Catholic, Tai Chi was part of that too.
Catholic Marketing Network.
Yeah, the Catholic Marketing Network. Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Well, now, well, now I can rest in peace because John Ngadi heard me before I heard him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I even think I heard of Greg Walton too. I used to get Greg Walton messed up with, who's the other OCP artist, Greg? There's another, Ben Walton. Ben Walters.
Ben Walther?
Yeah. I used to get Ben Walther and Greg Walton mixed up. I thought they were the same guy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No more.
Well, I don't mind that. Ben's a good writer.
He is a good writer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a bald guy too, Greg.
I know. Yeah. He's rocking that beard. He's the millennial, you know.
Yeah. I'd grow my beard, but I look like Santa Claus. I don't want to look like Santa Claus.
Dude, I saw like a chat with Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig and a couple other folks. I think it was on TikTok. And man, his hair was all over, but he had this big bushy beard. And I was like, man, it's and it was all gray, you know. So
Will
I was like,
Ferrell was it was Will
yeah,
Ferrell?
Yeah. That's well, he's come a long way since Elf, you know. The
he went from movie. Elf, yeah, Elf to Santa. And now he's Santa. Now he's become Santa from Elf.
Crazy.
You know what's really weird? You guys are watching the same stuff I am. That's what's so
that's because we're all in our 50s.
It's like what?
Yeah. We watch the same stuff. Yeah. Anyway, but Aaron is a music director at this time in Sacramento. But Aaron, where do you really come from?
Well, I was born in Chicago. And then lived, my dad was kind of a wandering Armenian. No, I'm just joking. He liked to kind of move, and born on the south side of Chicago. And then we moved up to the lake, up to the North Shore. And lived for a while, where I was chased home from school every day in my first grade year, and then out to Scottsdale, Arizona in 1977, where I came to love the desert and the heat and Catholic music and the trumpet and voices. And then went to school up in Flagstaff, met my wife up there. She was not my wife when I met her. Should we get that straight? And then moved back down to Sedona. Lived there for a while, met many good people. Back down to Phoenix, where I got my first few music ministry jobs. And then for some reason, after four kids, we decided to move to Wisconsin in 2007. And lived out there for about 9 years. Met some beautiful people in the city of Madison, Wisconsin. I think we had you out for a couple of months there. And worked in Janesville and back to California now. This is where I hope to retire with with some peace and dignity.
Yeah. So was trumpet your major? Because I remember you're a great trumpet player. Was that your major in school?
Yeah, it was. I went on to study trumpet in college on a full trumpet scholarship. And after about 3 years, realized, wait a minute, I can sing. I like guitar and piano. There's a world out here. And so I kind of started drifting a little bit, but I still play. I still practice.
That's awesome. Totally do like a ska thing with that, you know.
Yeah, but Aaron's like a one man band. I mean, he can play it all. He can play guitar.
Oh, I know.
Then he can play piano.
See, that's the problem. That's the problem. Is like things sound so much better when there's other vegetables in the soup. You know. Was that a bad analogy?
No, that's I totally get that. Yeah. I'm laughing because I relate to that.
Yeah,
I get a lot of extra help on my stuff too, which makes me look good, you know.
Yeah, mixes.
But you can do them all. I mean, I've seen you do them all, and run. There was some conference we were at. And you remember that game you were playing with the kids, and you were running like a mile down the. What was that?
Oh yeah, I forget that. But yeah, I remember. You know, just trying to get them to move. Actually, I was trying to get myself to move.
And I just remember trying to get off the stage with my knees. I'm going.
I remember.
Aaron, why you got to do this stuff? Can you just sing? Yeah, it was funny. It was Dion was with us and JT, I think.
JT.
And I think Grady was with us too.
Grady was there too. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were, I learned a lot about working in conferences and doing that type of ministry from you.
Oh, so you didn't learn much. I see why you're not doing them any longer. No, just kidding. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. You know, those things were very insightful. And that's really where I kind of got to know you and hear some of your stories. And so you've been Catholic all your life, pretty much?
Yes, sir. Yep.
And your mom and dad were Catholic?
You know, it's funny. My mom converted from the Anglican Church. My father was Catholic. Which was kind of an odd thing because he grew up in Virginia to a single mother. And I don't know how he ended up Catholic. I'm still working on that story. But and then my mom was Anglican and she converted to the, you know, Catholic Church when she was young and with my father. And so I was, people ask me that all the time, you know, they listen to my music, they listen to me sing. They're like, yeah, you know, you converted. And I'm like, no. And they're like, well, you know, there's not many Black Catholics out there. And I'm like, you know what? You just haven't been to the right part of the country, you know?
Yeah.
Plenty of Black Catholics out there. But anyway, I digress.
No, being a Black Catholic in this market, how do you you know, with everything that's been going on these past year, past couple years, what's your assessment of what's been happening with racism alive? And
okay, well, let me just first say this is a this is a disclaimer, because I'm kind of a I'm a strange hybrid, meaning I grew up for most of my life in Arizona, in Scottsdale, Arizona. So most of my family's in New York. I was born in Chicago, grew up in Arizona, lived in Wisconsin. Now I'm California. So I am a man who walks among other people, and I see people. I listen to voices, whether, you know, different races, different faith backgrounds. And I don't necessarily sound, people will always say, you know, the, like I was invited to be the music director for the National Black Catholic Congress a number of years ago. And it was awesome. But I remember when I went down there, the first one of the first people who addressed me, an African-American guy from, you know, the South, he was mad at me. He basically, he didn't even know me. And he said, you're an Uncle Tom. And I was like, what? And I know I worked with the choir and did the conference, and it was awesome. But I'm not necessarily seen as the blackest guy out there, which is ironic. So I am who I am. You know, I have a diverse family, and I've always walked that line of tension. And I think that's where it lies. I walk into a parish. My family comes into a parish. We're a mixed family. And we are greeted based on our Catholic faith, and then they see who we are. My identity isn't necessarily that I see the world as, you know, just a black man, because I have so many different experiences as a Catholic, as a father, and a person who's traveled to different parts of the country to share faith, to break bread, and to have goodwill. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, events of this last year, along with COVID, have been pretty sad and depressing and sorry to see. But I wrote a song from my heart and my perspective, walking that line of tension, meaning wanting to love people and hear and respect what they have to say. At the same time, everyone wants dignity, right? We all want dignity. You hear it in the cries of people marching for justice on the street after the, I would say, execution of George Floyd. You hear it in the voices of people fighting and fussing on our social media feeds. If you can kind of get past the anger, people want dignity. They want to be recognized for who they are and for their life as a human being. So I have to, I guess as a Catholic, I have to write from that perspective, walking that line of remembering I'm not just a black guy. I'm not just a Catholic. I'm not just a father, but I'm all that. And maybe some of these people out there are all that also. So the song I wrote, Climb the Mountain, it just begins with some questions and then some, I guess more some, you know, about my, from where I come from, can we come together? Can we climb this mountain together? This mountain that is human dignity that everybody wants. I don't know if that was a bad answer, but it's my answer.
So let's feature that here. Here's Climb the Mountain by Aaron Thomas. And you're listening to,
I don't know who Aaron Thomas is, but Aaron Thomas.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
Aaron right, Thompson. Greg, sorry, I get
yeah, get it right, Ben. I mean, Greg.
Yeah. All right, Tom.
Oh my gosh. Let me do that again. So, here is Climb the Mountain by Aaron Thompson. You're listening to Living Real on Nashville's Hippie Radio 94.5, made possible by Closets by Design.
We'll be right after Greg gets a haircut.
Mama, look away, look away. I can die alone. 8 minutes ain't long to take away all I ever own. Mama, look away, storm coming, broken glass, the sound. Ain't never had much, mostly liquor stores around. Where you gonna shop if they burn the local grocery down? Can we start again? There are mountains to climb. reasons to fight, to run from our darkness. Who's gonna take my hand? Step by step, climb the mountain. Every night, Mama, pray just a little prayer. Bring my baby home, bring him home, Lord, I don't care. Then she smiles, whispers soft as she walks away. Ain't never had the courage to ask Mama what she'd never say. Daddy's so proud of the badge he wear every day. Ooh, can we start again? There are mountains to climb, reasons to find, to run from our darkness. Ooh, gonna take my hand. Step by step, climb the mountain. I heard a woman say, only God gonna save our land. It kinda made me think, what is wrong with your feet, your hands? Take a knee and bring down a wall. Take a breath before you stand up tall. Say dignity is all everyone bleeds. Tell me who can we start again? There are mountains to climb, reasons to find, to run from our darkness. Tell me who gonna take my. Step by step, climb the mountain. Step by step, step by step, climb the mountain. Step by step, step by. Climb the mountain.
You're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "There is a place for everything, everything in its place." For most of us, that's easier said than done. Let the professionals at Closets by Design help you find a place for all of your everythings. They're experts in maximizing your storage space by creating new organizational units for any space in your home. Imagine your home totally organized, along with your office, pantry, closet, or garage. Call locally owned Closets by Design today for your free in-home consultation and save 40% off their everyday low prices, plus receive free installation. They'll design and price your new space during the visit. Call 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700 or online at closetsbydesign.com.
Welcome back to Living Real with Greg Walton. I'm John Angotti. Julianne and Robert are out because of snow and other things going on. It's really beautiful here. Wish we had this for Christmas, Greg, instead of for Ash Wednesday.
Do you want to build a snowman? Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
And we just heard a song, Climb the Mountain, by Aaron Thompson, who's our dear friend, who's from Sacramento, California. And Aaron, you know, California is a different state. I know that all my neighbors are all here from California. They moved out of the state of California because for some reason, something's going on there that people don't like. What it is, I'm not going to say, but anyway, nevertheless, how's COVID affected you out there in Sacramento?
Oh, Lord. Well, as a music director, man, I think everywhere things shut down in our Catholic parishes, and thus so also. I'm actually in Fair Oaks, which is right next to Sacramento, and I'm in a parish called St. Mel. Nobody ever has heard of the St. Mel, but he's the brother of St. Patrick, by the way. And our parish shut down like everyone else, and we scrambled and for video equipment. I learned to live stream. Wonderful time for learning that skill. Set up cameras, and we were live streaming. Middle of the summer came, the bishop gave permission for us to have mass outside. Ha! We're in California. We can do that. Beautiful weather outside. Had beautiful mass. It was almost like the 70s, man. We had our guitars out. There were streamers everywhere, and celebrate.
People wearing tie-dye shirts.
Yeah, it was. 3 months, man. It was beautiful, beautiful weather. And then permission to come back inside about a month ago, and we're back inside again. So that's the cool thing about California. But that's how it affected us. But, you know, this is the thing. This is what I realized. A lot of parishioners who I love, but when I did see them, they complained. They said, the church, they were kind of mad at the government. They're mad at the county. They're mad at the governor. They closed the church. And you know what? I haven't had an opportunity to say this, so I'm glad I had the opportunity to say this. It has never been the case that Catholics go to church, because we do not go to church. When they lock the doors of the place we worship, they do not close the church. We are the church. Therefore, we rejoice because we are Catholics, and we rejoice in this suffering. We rejoice in the opportunity to be church to one another in just a different way for a little while. We go to worship as Catholics. We go to receive the sacraments. We go to receive the Eucharist. We go to celebrate who we are as church. So I just wanted to put that out there. They never closed the churches. Now, there's some other faiths where, man, they close the doors of the church, and yeah, the church is closed. You're not going to church on Sunday. But not so with Catholics, because we have to understand who we are as the body of Christ, and we are the church.
How have, earlier we were talking about people in terms of dealing with COVID, you know, what do you see in terms of your community, people struggling with coming out of COVID, like, you know, where are people's mind frames, you know, it's a different world. Little by little, the vaccine's coming, you know, but where are we in terms of our psyche and our emotional well-being? I mean, you see a lot of suicide rates up, mental illness is running rampant. People are a little bit on edge about everything. Yeah. What are you seeing on that?
Yeah. Very difficult times. As a music director and a pastoral minister, with my choir being separated from me, I try to keep in touch as I can with them, but it's been difficult because you kind of lose contact, and then you lose a little bit of hope and the ability to stay connected. And that's really, I think, been a second blow to everyone, because this thing has gone on so long that even those who are kind of like, yeah, I'm sending out an email, let's Zoom, they're kind of getting tired emotionally. I mean, I've just seen it as a pastoral musician. You have the opportunity to see and work with people regularly, you know, in their lives, but we've been disconnected. I see them coming back, and there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of frustration. And now I see kind of weariness and confusion. And this is an interesting thing. At this stage, I see almost like a letting go, a surrender, finally, for many who were very angry and the most militant on, like, we're not going to wear the mask. This is a hoax, blah, blah, blah. They've come through this journey, too, and they are tired. And in a sense, I think God can work with that when we're too tired to fight.
Well, they must not have been too tired, because they all moved to Tennessee.
Yeah, well, you know what? Maybe the housing prices will come down here. All right. Maybe it'll be a little more.
Well, they're driving our prices up. You should see the housing market here. You can't. Houses are sold, like, if you ask an asking price, it's going to be more, because people from California see it as such a bargain. But
you
it's
see this?
Not.
Do you see
not
this?
For us poor folk. Yeah.
Can you hear this violin?
No.
It's pretty tiny. It's hard to hear.
It's really small.
Yeah. Anyway, that's Are your kids still practicing? Your older kids?
That's a tough one. My eldest daughter has not considered herself Catholic for a while. She struggled with something. We sent her to a Catholic high school, and ironically, kind of came out not wanting to be Catholic. But we did our best, you know, throughout our life just to live the faith and be a witness.
Yeah.
My oldest son, you know, he kind of bounces around. He stays on the edges of being Catholic. He hasn't rejected it. And my two youngest are still in the house. Damn right they're Catholic because we go to church. Now, you know, that's not a good attitude, but they're old enough to start making, you know, some of their own decisions and enjoying it and just spending some time with us in church on Sunday. And that's really all we want is just for them to experience the faith, and then they have to make their own choice. So most of them are, and some of them aren't.
Go ahead, Greg.
Aaron, you and I are in the same boat. So I have, out of my crew of five, I have three agnostics, you know, and then one non-denom, and then another one who is probably Catholic, but he's kind of on the fence right now too, but definitely Christian. And, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I feel, especially for those of us who come from a place of faith or work pastorally, there's kind of this pressure cooker that, you know, all your kids got to come out amazing, you know, on a level of faith. And I think the thing that I hope, and I like to say to other parents, just as an encouragement, is our job is to love our children as Christ loves us. Mm-hmm. Without condition. So whether you're going to Mass on Sunday or not, you are part of this family, and we love you through and through. And my hope is that, you know, my kids, and I'm sure it's the same for you, will love by giving away, you know, in the image and likeness of Christ, whether they call it that or not, you know, because they've received it, you know?
Yeah. I have a sign on my wall that I've had to finally start implementing as just a normal dad. And once you stop pulling your kids up the Catholic hill on the sled and, you know, rah, 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 and you let them witness you just living life and struggling, that let them see just the cross of life, the cross of marriage, the cross of relationships, the cross of, you know, now I could just shut my mouth. And basically it says, I'm learning just to be helpful and inspiring. I only say what's necessary, and I try to be kind, and I try not to lecture. Those are all goals. And the rest is going to be up to them.
Yeah. I think that it's a great discussion because there's a lot of parents. I see one of my children starting to kind of fall away, and that a support group for parents with their children. I mean, you know, having three agnostic children, I think people need the question. I think that's a journey that everybody needs to go on, not just accept it. And then later in life, if you don't question yourself to come up with the point where you run into that brick wall to see it's all a mystery. And then you have to make the faith choice yourself, you know? And I think a lot of parents blame themselves for their kids not going to church. And I don't think that they should be blamed. I don't think, you know, as Catholics, as a Catholic parent, the tools that we've been given in the 70s and earlier, you know, we didn't really have any tools, right? You know, they didn't really give. And just now, parents are starting to have formation and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's tough to show your kids a mystery of why you believe in something that's unbelievable, you know? And I was watching this show last night on the history of the Black Church. Mm-hmm. And John Legend was on there, and he was talking about how he used to go to church, but he didn't find that church today talks about the issues that are dealing with their current situation of living. And I'm like, bingo. You know, if we're not speaking to the young people today about their issues, and we're just going to say, you should do this or you should do that, or all you need to do is go say this prayer and do this thing. And that's not answering their questions. And so I think it's an opportunity for us as church to look at ourselves and say, okay, what are we offering? What are the issues? Absolutely. Yeah.
And I agree with that. I think that's part of the challenge. But you know what also I've come to see is that we as kind of pastoral ministers and kind of missionaries within the church, we have an advantage, meaning we're crushing on lyrics and scripture from an early age. We're digesting the tension and the kind of the contradictions that are arising, what we say, how we live, who we are. But we're struggling with that early. But at the same time, we have the benefit of setting scripture to song. So the spirit of Christ's words in the church is imbued in us, and we see the church differently. We see our work differently. And I think it lets us let go a little easier, because that's part of the journey, is letting go. Mm-hmm. I so many people that I meet, you know, the anger and seeing things through kind of this backward lens of everything was so great back when the church did this, or the church only did it. There's only now, and there's only ever been only now. And those who love the church, love scripture, and can digest that and have a little bit of, I don't want to say, they're not wishy-washy. They just have this vision that sees the church and the good and the mission and family. And it's not perfect. It's just, we do the best that we can in this moment. And maybe that's all God asks of us. And I just want to say that on the topic of fatherhood, you know, I wrote a song that came out a number of years ago. It's called Wings. And that was for my daughter, my youngest daughter, because she just at the dinner table, we were sitting there, and I'm a young family, you know, full of just like this Catholic vigor and this stuff. But I was a young dad and sitting across from my wife, and my daughter's like 5 years old, and she looks at me with peas on a fork going into her mouth and says, "Dad, who will I marry when I grow up?" And it caught me by surprise. I was kind of like, I didn't know what to say. So I wrote this song for her, and it's called Wings. And there's some questions in there. And maybe it's in the questioning, being willing to walk with them through the questions of life. The questions that we all have as family, you know, and I have fewer answers maybe now than I did back then.
That's excellent. So here's Aaron Thompson with the song Wings. We'll be right back on Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5, brought to you by Closets by Design.
She said, "Daddy, will I marry when my childhood days are done? Will you help me find someone tender, true, and strong? Then build for us a castle where forever's not too long. Promise me when my childhood days are done, one more thing, build me some fairy wings to help me fly around. It's hard to be a princess when my feet can't leave the ground. So Daddy, build them strong with pretty paper, kisses, love, and glue. You can color them green, red, or yellow, fairy color too. Then I'm gonna fly with the wings that I get from you." "Daddy, will you teach me to dance, and not the silly one you do? Can we move to the radio, and can I climb up on your shoe? Tired and laugh with me like you and Mama do. And can I wear my wings when I dance with you? We can build them strong with pretty paper, kisses, love, and glue. We can color them green, red, or yellow, fairy color too. Then where will I fly
should fly high enough to see the needs of others. Then you should go low enough to reach out for their hand. Then you should fly fast enough to make it to the stars. Then you should go low enough to find your home and land. Then we must build them strong with pretty paper, kisses, love, and you. We can color them green, red, or yellow, fairy color too. Then you gotta fly with the wings that I give to you. Baby, you gotta fly with the wings I give to you.
Listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "There is a place for everything, everything in its place." For most of us, that's easier said than done. Let the professionals at Closets by Design help you find a place for all of your everythings. They're experts in maximizing your storage space by creating new organizational units for any space in your home. Imagine your home totally organized, along with your office, pantry, closet, or garage. Call locally owned Closets by Design today for your free in-home consultation and save 40% off their everyday low prices, plus receive free installation. They'll design and price your new space during the visit. Call 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700 or online at closetsbydesign.com.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio with my co-host, John Ngadi. Myself, I'm Greg Walton, and we're here talking to Aaron Thompson, a musicianary, pastoral musician, and
composer. He's a composer.
Composer, yeah. Go ahead.
Friend, runner, athlete.
Right.
He does hot yoga. You still doing hot yoga? Are you still doing the hot yoga?
You know, I kind of gave it up. Got expensive. I live in California now. Can't afford it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You have to get on me and tell me about all about the hot yoga, you know.
Even yoga's more expensive out here.
The only yoga I got is Yogi Bear. Oh, sorry.
And we just got done listening to his song Wings that Aaron, you wrote for your daughter. And that was about walking with them through the questions, you know, with each other. Right. And how, like, in our 20s, and I think this is common for everybody's journey, we like having all the answers. We want to pin everything down. It makes us feel safe. Yeah. But we find with age and hopefully wisdom that it's more about admitting that we don't have all the answers and just walking with people that through that tension that sometimes is the most effective, well, really is the most effective form of ministry.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, Aaron, I do have a personal question. I just want to, I don't know if it's something we talk about. And I always wonder with Meredith too, you know, her kids are mixed. Hmm. Yeah. How does that play out with your kids?
I think that it's a journey that they have to take on because they don't look exactly like me. They don't look exactly like their mom. Marion has blonde hair and she's, you know, Scottish and, you know, I'm African-American, and they don't look like either of us. They obviously they're going to sound like a combination of us, but they really, as they get older, I see them having to come to terms with how people see them. And that's, you know, again, that's another thing I don't always like, you know, it's hard to talk about because it's their journey, but how people see them. And what's interesting is in this country, you know, if you're a little bit African-American, you're considered black. And that used to be something that was kind of used against you for a long time. Now, kind of like, you know, black people are kind of claiming that, you know, now it's like, if you're not totally white, you're a person of color. And, you know, I don't know what any of that means other than, you know, we need to come to an understanding of who we are and we need to become who we are. There's not, ultimately, there's not going to be anyone who looks exactly like you. And it was tough. It was tough in Wisconsin, especially for my oldest daughter, Madison, at this kind of prep Catholic school. Some kids, they were very mean to her, you know, making fun of her hair. And she held a lot of stuff inside. It's made her very strong, and it's helped her come to a quick understanding of who she is. And my younger kids, they have to go through the same thing. California is a little bit more diverse, I'd say, probably than Wisconsin. And that's a cool thing, but it's tough. It's tough. You know, I had my journey as a black kid in Scottsdale, Arizona, of course. And I don't know, you know, it is what it is. They have to tell their own stories.
Yeah.
We just let them know that we love you, and we will love who you love, and you have a home here. And that's all I can tell them, you know, because they're not going to walk my story. You know, they can't. And it's fine to let my story kind of fade into, you know, the past. They have their own tales to tell as mixed kids living in America. And I don't think it's going to be easy over the next few years, you know. You know, we've kind of uncovered some pretty ugly things that have been living under the cover that most of us probably knew. And maybe we'll have a chance to address them with the next generation, or maybe they'll say the same. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I just wondered, I see, like, my kids are very accepting, you know, that I don't see, like when I was growing up, parents who were older than me, you know, throwing around the N-word, making jokes about that. You know, I heard that growing up as a kid. Mm. But with my parents, they were very much against all that, and they would point that out, you know. Mm. I don't know if I see my kids seeing that kind of thing. Maybe they're just, you know, because I've always had JT, Grady, and Dion around, and they've witnessed that in my life. But I think kids today are less racist, maybe.
Oh, I mean,
because
so.
they're a little more diverse, you know, and they're more accepting, you know. Even, you know, if a kid was gay, oh my God, that was horrible. Now, mm-hmm. Hell, nobody, it's like, it's no big deal. So,
yeah,
I relate to that a bit. You know, I remember, it's got me reflecting on a few things just from my high school years in the 80s too. One of my friends, and she was mixed, and she never really quite felt like she fit in with the black community or the white community. She was in limbo. And I remember her, you know, a pretty tearful moment for her where she, you know, a lot of rage and anger over that, as she opened up about it in our circle of friends one time. And I was, I had a girlfriend, and her family was from Haiti. And I remember we were holding hands at the football stadium going to a game, and a couple of guys, yelled down at me, "Dude, are you crazy?" You know, but having taught middle school, you know, and in middle school in the Mid South, I do see a lot more integration where just kids going to dances together, and crossing the some of those racial boundaries that were much more defined, even post civil rights movement for us, mm-hmm. you know? So it's better, but at the same time, we have definitely some big systemic stuff that's still an obstacle for people that we need to overcome.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah. You know, I think so. I think that, being able to share, because it's always about the narrative, right? Who controls the narrative? Whose narrative is it coming out? I think that there's a lot about, you know, cancel culture, you're canceling my narrative. Telling stories, everyone has a narrative, and sharing those stories. And yeah, there's been a lot of systemic things, but no, that's really hard to talk about, because how do you discuss that? You know, how do you share the experience of your father not having a job or not being able to buy a house in this neighborhood? But that's a discussion for another topic. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's hard. A good... Yeah, that's
you know, how do you discuss the absence of success or the absence of inclusion from past? And in, to a sense, I'm not a guy that dwells really in the past, because we have to move forward. We have to make community and we have to make good with the time that we have, going back to what I said earlier. You know, my father taught me that, because my father lived and through, you know, very tumultuous times in the South when he was a young man. But it's a blessing for the time I have on earth to be able to connect with guys like you who see and who acknowledge my story without me having to tell you. And that's huge progress.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And on the topic of walking through tension, I have two songs that I want to just talk about. One is absolutely too long to share on your show. but the first is something I had the privilege to collaborate with, you know, John, and I wanted you in it, but you weren't able to do it. But it was a song that we did during the height of the COVID, our absence from one another. It was called Hallelujah Forward to the Cross, and it's Lent. I shouldn't have said the word hallelujah, but it was inspired by Bishop Robert Barron's letter to the church. And I wrote that song to bring people together and lift up the church. So I hope you have a chance to share that. It's called Forward to the Cross. Yeah. And then on kind of back to the topic that we were talking about the tensions and family. And one thing for me, that kind of, I like doing these crazy projects, and I've come to love video, as we kind of talked about earlier. The power that we have to bring imagery to our music can be very, very dramatic for Catholic artists. And I discovered the Litany of Saints a number of years back. And I realized, you know, as Catholics on Easter Vigil, we never get to hear the full litany, but there is a full Litany of the Saints that Pope Gregory the Great began to put together in about 600. And it's amazing, because it begins, and you can actually see the traction and the hierarchy and the tension in life in the full Litany of the Saints. It begins with you know, a supplication to God, calling to Mary. Then all of a sudden you're to the angels, and then you're to the patriarchs, you know, St. John the Baptist, St. Joseph, Holy Abraham. And then it moves to the bishops, the priests, the martyrs. And then it goes to these crazy, like, supplications and prayers against evil. And so I set this to video and music, and I called it the Mighty Litany to the Saints. And on the topic of, you talk about diversity, the Litany of Saints, when you start pulling artwork to put with the music, you know, you can't just pull anything off of these, you know, stock video sites. You really need things that speak to beauty and diversity and the elevation of the church. And I found myself calling on the Eastern art of the church and the Western art, and putting video clips of that I had come up with. So it's a really interesting thing. And it really helped me. If you listen to the full litany, the church has been struggling with these things forever. And it'll be this struggle till we get to heaven. But for me, the Litany of the Saints, the full litany, was really an amazing opportunity to walk a little bit deeper into this confusion and tension and hope that we all hold for heaven and for community and for salvation and for relationships.
Yeah, it's a beautiful video. It's like 18 minutes long or something, isn't it?
It's 16 minute long. So don't make it any longer than it is.
16 minutes. But
yeah, I don't. So, nobody will ever watch it. It's almost like the Beatles. You know, their last years making records that they couldn't do live. This.
But it's on YouTube. This is on the B side. Remember the B side where you had the big long songs on the flip it over.
Yeah.
Right. But it's on YouTube, right? People can get it on
YouTube.
It's
on Facebook. Yeah. Aaron Thompson Music on Facebook is a great place to see it, or on YouTube. It's called The Mighty Litany of the Saints.
Yeah. And I wanted to share that with some of our people, because I think it's a great learning tool for, you know, young people. They can listen to that and learn about the saints and have some cool music accompanying all that. Now, in that litany, you also had like Moses. So it wasn't just the saints. It's holy people.
Yeah. It begins with some, you know, calling out to God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is here. And then it moves to Mary and the different, you know, names from Mary. And then it moves to the patriarchs of the church, who, you know, we don't necessarily say Saint Abraham. We say Holy Abraham.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's before Christ. Is that your dog?
He is. He's wanting to go out. Well, Aaron, I know you've written a lot of other stuff for WLP as well, which I get a WLP music. And one of the songs, a beautiful piece that you wrote that we're going to learn at Lent is called Tree of Life. Tell us a little bit about Tree of Life as we finish up here today.
Oh, Tree of Life is one of my first compositions. For some reason, the words just came to me as I was driving down the mountain in Arizona from college, Flagstaff to Phoenix. And just the words, turn our hearts, turn our minds, make us branches. Fast, holding fast to the vine, patient keeper, draw us to your tender mercy, tree of life. And then, you know, it's one of my first compositions, and I'm glad I did it. You know, sometimes we write things when we were young, when we're kind of, our minds are free of worry, that we struggle to write that simply. I don't know if that's true with you guys, but I struggle to get back to those, that simplicity of faith in my writing these days. Everything seems to come out complex.
Well, because I think our lives got a little complex, you know, and I think that's the objective, is to try to get back to a simpler, to make that full circle. You know, we're in our 50s yeah. now, where we're dealing with a lot of conflict and you know, we're trying to figure out the exit plan, basically, yeah. you know,
yeah.
and I think that brings a lot of tension into our lives. And but this is our first Sunday of Lent, so maybe this is an opportunity for us to listen to your song, Tree of Life, and go back to some of the simple things of that will bring peace and into our hearts, so that then we can go forth to love and serve the Lord by loving and serving each other.
So maybe, Greg, maybe the three of us will write a song together sometime.
I think we should do
yeah,
that. I think that's a great definitely. Idea. We'll make that happen. Mm-hmm. And this week is the first Sunday of Lent. And so please check out our website. Any other information? Because I got to hurry up and take the dog out.
Yep. Visit my website, AaronThompsonMusic.com. And my music's available on GIA. World Library, but it's also on CD Baby if you're looking for Hallelujah Forward to the Cross or Climb the Mountain.
Awesome.
All right, so we're going to get both these songs in. So this is Tree of Life by Aaron Thompson and Looking Forward to the Cross. You're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5. Go out and smile at somebody. Make a difference in somebody's life today. God bless.
Walk this road behind. John Angotti, Greg Walton, Robert Fiducia, and Julianne Staley. Be sure to tune in every week at 8 a.m. to Living Real Radio. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.